stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the day that hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet come to the place on which our Father sighed. We have come over a way that with tears has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past till now we stand at last where the white gleam of our star is cast. As I meditated on today's passage, today's Christmas passage, lyrics like these from our Black national anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing, permeated my soul. Because today's passage reminds us that hardship and deep suffering are indeed part of the air that we breathe, the historical air that we breathe. Stony, that road we've trod. Our feet are indeed weary. Our fathers have sighed. And yes, we have tread path that has blood from the slaughter. And as I meditated on today's passage, I was reminded of other melodies as well, like Lift Every Voice and Sing, that juxtapose hope and sorrow. Other African-American spirituals like Go Down Moses and Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And you might be saying, Aaron, it's Christmas, it's Advent. Where's Joy to the World? Sing that. Or Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Go Tell It on the Mountain. That's a good one. It's got a good upbeat sound to it. And yeah, the birth of Jesus is absolutely a story of joy, full of joy. And Jesus brought joy to the world. But the joy in our Christmas story is fairly short-lived in the Gospel of Matthew. So let's go ahead and read today's passage. Today's passage from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. So the first thing with this passage that you'll see if you start looking it up is this question of, did this really happen? This is unfathomable, the story that this king would actually kill and exterminate these baby boys in the town of Bethlehem. It's unfathomable, it didn't happen. And Josephus, who recorded all about the life of the great King Herod, didn't record it. He recorded other stuff about Herod, but he didn't record this, so it, it didn't happen. But the thing is, we do know that Herod, according to that same Josephus, was paranoid. He was a paranoid leader. He had no problem killing others, including his wife, including his children, and many others. So in this little town of Bethlehem, where people estimate there might have been maybe 1,000 people, and probably less than 20 boys ages 2 and under, I do believe that, yes, this unfathomable thing happened just as Matthew said it did. Herod perceived a threat. And then, as some rulers, some tyrants do, he dealt with what he perceived to be the threat. Can you imagine? Like, to me, it is unfathomable to receive a knock on your door and to have these so-called threatened authorities take and kill your child. That all the boys in the small town, all the boys ages 2 and under, were slaughtered. But it happened. And as we look throughout history, there are other unfathomable things. It's unfathomable to me that 6 million Jews were killed in the German Holocaust. It's unfathomable to me that over 1.5 to 2 million Cambodians were killed in the 1970s as part of that genocide. About 1/4 of the population of the country. That is unfathomable. And it's unfathomable to me in today's world that one can be walking to their relative's house and be attacked by a neighborhood watch person, taking the life of the 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. That's unfathomable to me, yet it happened. Or to be jogging and have your life taken, like 23-year-old Ahmaud Arbery. Or to be playing with a toy gun in a park and have your life taken by an officer like 12-year-old Tamir Rice. Unfathomable. Yet all three of those stories and many others of Black lives taken have happened. In my own life, some death that I've experienced, unfathomable, unfathomable death. My dad's sister, when I was in middle school, was kidnapped and murdered at age 29, my Aunt Bonnie. Unfathomable suffering, yet it happened. I was a pallbearer for my good childhood friend Greg when I was in college, who had died by suicide, an unfathomable death at age 20. But it happened. And so as we read this passage, yes, it does sound unfathomable. The suffering, the weight of it, the weight of these things from the historical past, the weight of these things in our own lives from our past, and the weight of these things in the present day. It feels so heavy and indeed unfathomable. But in that Bethlehem town, these boys, I deeply believe, perished. It happened. And Matthew chose to include it in the Christmas story. And here we are, at home for Christmas in 2020, talking not about joy to the world, but talking about deep pain and death and suffering. Why did Matthew do this? Why was this captured? God, why did you allow this to happen? I believe this is in the Christmas story because Jesus certainly did not come to snap his fingers and just make it all right. That Jesus came to a world that was suffering, and he indeed brought this kingdom of God to earth. He brought joy, he brought hope, but he didn't come to eradicate earthly suffering. The Christmas story actually has suffering and death front and center, and we see it in today's passage. But amid the death of these Bethlehem male infants, young baby Jesus was spared. How was he spared? In the passage, to avoid the death of their newborn son, God warned Joseph, and he warned him in a dream. And I personally think this is fascinating. Matthew records God speaking to people through dreams in the Christmas narrative 5 different times. One time was to the Magi. Don't go back to King Herod. And four times, the other four times, were to Joseph. He spoke to Joseph through dreams. And he had already told Joseph to stick with Mary. We heard that from Pastor Rich a few weeks ago. Because the child that she had conceived was not from another man, but was from the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit. That was communicated in a dream. And here we are again, God speaking to Joseph in a dream. And now in this dream, God tells him to flee. He warns him that something bad is going to happen and you got to get out of here, which is great news. Thank you, God. Thank you for speaking to me, because that kind of suffering, I don't think I could bear, the loss of my own son. I'll get out. Where do you want me to go? Egypt. I want you to go to Egypt. Are you kidding me? If I'm Joseph, like, what? Like, you want me to go to Egypt of all places? You want me to go back to Egypt, this place of significant loss. What, this place where an entire Jewish people was synonymous with suffering, with oppression at the hand of an empire, of a tyrant ruler. But here, in this unexpected plot twist, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus become refugees back in this land that for generations was synonymous with oppression. So, in this Christmas story, we have a tale of two kings. We have this one king, Herod, with immense earthly power, but who's paranoid and threatened by this future power of a baby. And then, of course, we have this king, Jesus, born into suffering, bringing a kingdom entirely counter to what Herod had been living and breathing. Brian Zond, who is a church leader who consistently emphasizes the strong thread of justice throughout Scripture, he says it this way: Jesus' invasion by birth into the dark time of tyrant kings gives us a choice. We can trust in the armed brutality of violent power, or we can trust in the naked vulnerability of love. It seems like an absurd choice, but only one of these ways is the Jesus way. We have to choose between the old way of Caesar and the new way of Christ. It's a choice between the sword and the cross. We have to decide if we'll pledge our allegiance to the empire of power or the empire of love, but we can't do both. So what do we do with this passage? What do we do with this kind of death and suffering and oppression and loss? Well, on a personal note, 2020 has led to all kinds of personal loss, and maybe not on the type of scale of the death that we're talking about in this passage, or some of the other death that I referenced earlier, but still a lot of loss. Losses of dreams of what could have been in 2020, this year of vision, this year of ideas and aspirations. So a loss of a lot. Losses of experiences and a connection with family, connection with friends, maybe that trip you were planning to take, or that high school graduation you were planning to experience, or that wedding that you had planned. All sorts of loss. There have in this year been a loss of trust and a loss of hope, a loss of joy. And in these losses, we have to remember that Jesus, he knows it. He knows the loss. He suffered as we suffered in different ways. I don't know if he lost out on a vacation or a high school graduation due to a pandemic, but he knows it. He feels it, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. He's in it all. He is our Emmanuel. And so we should not pursue the absence of suffering as perhaps we would do if we were Buddhist, and we should not pursue suffering as if we're pursuing some sort of martyrdom or seeking that kind of martyrdom. But we should expect it. We should expect suffering, just as Jesus expected it. And in this passage in Matthew, twice we see this concept of so it would be fulfilled. This suffering in a lot of ways was destined. Jesus was destined to suffer, and so are we. Now, I'm personally not a huge fan of hardship and suffering. I gotta be honest. When things are tough with my children, I long for the absence of conflict. Stop. Or when I face extra toil in my work and everything just seems harder than it needs to be, I just want it to be easier. I long for a break. And on a much larger scale, when I hear things like human beings being trafficked, I just plead for God's mercy. When hearing the story of Casey Goodson Jr.'s death at the hand of an officer, just saying, Lord, have mercy. How much longer? How much more, oh God? But in these questions and our weariness, whether these are you know, small sufferings or big ones, Jesus is there. He experienced suffering from this early Christmas story all the way through his death on the cross. And he not only empathizes with us, he is with us. He's with us. And so as we think about this Christmas narrative, yes, Jesus' birth brought joy, for sure. But his birth also brought suffering to the entire town of Bethlehem. And with Jesus' birth came death. This small community suffered, I can imagine, for generations. So this Christmas, yes, let's experience joy. Let's seek joy. Let's seek the joy of Jesus, especially in the midst of 2020, but especially in the midst of 2020. Let's also acknowledge our suffering. Let's acknowledge it. Let's acknowledge our suffering and the suffering of others. Let's acknowledge those losses, whatever they might be. And when we need to grieve this holiday season, let's feel the freedom to grieve, church. Let's feel the freedom to be in it. Jesus is our Emmanuel. He's in it with us. In the suffering. He's in the loss. He's in the grief. Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. And rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.